NOM Update News, I'm Eva DeLapp. It's 9:02. An air taxi crashed and burned yesterday morning at the Saldanha Airport, and all 10 people on board were killed. State Trooper spokesperson Megan Peters says Saldanha Police, Central Emergency Services, and troopers responded to a call just after 11 a.m. on Sunday and found the single-engine Otter fully engulfed in flames. APRN reports the National Transportation Safety Board will be back today. The flight was operated by Redisk Air out of Nikiski. Company owner Willie Redisk has been confirmed as the pilot. All the remains have been recovered from the scene and sent to the State Medical Examiner's Office in Anchorage, with no other identities yet released. A pall of wildfire smoke lies over the Fairbanks area, and evacuations from the Stewart Creek 2 fire could number in the thousands by now. KUAC's Emily Schwing reports the fire has grown to more than 62,000 acres and is making its own weather. It's 5% contained. Officials say at least 750 homes are threatened. Some mushers have moved their sled dogs to dog yards across the region. Other residents are taking livestock and other animals to the Tanana Valley State Fairgrounds. The University of Alaska Fairbanks has opened its doors for evacuees. The Red Cross has set up an evacuation center at Weller Elementary School. On Saturday night, officials from a number of different agencies held a community meeting in Two Rivers to address local concerns regarding the fire. Melinda Shore lives near Milepost 21 along Shenna Hot Springs Road and attended the meeting. Shore says Army officials admitted to igniting the fire during an artillery training mission earlier this month. Efforts to prevent a fuel spill from the sunken 78-foot Bristol Bay fishing tender Lone Star failed last week, and the Igushik River sockeye salmon fishery had to be closed. The Fish and Game Department's area management biologist, Tim Sands, says they had no choice. Response efforts continued through the weekend. The initial attempt to have divers plug the fuel vents missed the tide. A claims hotline has been set up for fishermen deprived of their opening in the Igushik district. Another fish fight is simmering in western Alaska, this time on the mighty Yukon River in the community of Grayling, where three people were cited last week for illegally fishing king salmon they claim was to be used in a traditional funeral potlatch. On June 28th, three people were cited for using illegal nets while fishing near Grayling. 28 fish and three gillnets were confiscated by Alaska State Wildlife Troopers, and few residents in Grayling are happy with the situation. King salmon numbers have crashed along the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers in recent years. So far, only 97,000 kings have been counted this year in the lower Yukon. That's less than a typical small run year. When more than 100,000 kings have passed the downstream Pilot Point sonar station by early July. That's not enough, according to fish and game biologists, whose focus is to ensure the run's survival while also fulfilling a U.S.-Canadian treaty agreement that requires at least 42,000 kings cross the border hundreds of miles upriver. Fish and Game says it makes some exceptions for subsistence activities, but that no one submitted a request for the John Potlatch in Grayling last month. Senator Donnie Olson is encouraging his constituents to sign the petition for the repeal of Senate Bill 21, the new oil tax bill created by Governor Sean Parnell. Senator Olson says he was adamantly against the bill when it first came out in the Senate and spoke out against it all session. He says he still holds the opinion that ACES, which is Alaska's clear and equitable share, is a good bill.
Unfortunately, with this bill as it goes through, it looks like we're going to be losing and not saving any money. We're going to be losing over $1 billion every year. And because of that, with the hope, and there's no commitment from the oil companies, with the hope that they will increase production. And so because of that, I'm encouraging people to go ahead and sign it. I've signed it myself. My wife and I have signed it.
Senator Olson says he's traveled to Stebbins, St. Michael, and his hometown of Golovin. He says he's seen overwhelming support for repealing Governor Sean Parnell's oil tax bill. He says the bill threatens the village public safety officer program, community food banks, village safe water, and other state programs.
I've had my mixer, my mother, my 87-year-old mother signed it. With less revenues coming in, there's going to be less money that the state's going to go ahead and be able to go ahead and put into social services. One of the big things out here is domestic violence and sexual assault. Those shelters are going to be under direct siege by this lack of funding from the state, because they are the ones that fund it. And with that, we're going to have less and less money to go ahead and keep those their doors open to have their electric bills paid and pay for the counselors that are so necessary when you have these things that go on out here in the villages.
Governor Sean Parnell and the legislature passed Senate Bill 21 this year. With a decline in oil production, the new tax system was reformed to make business in Alaska more attractive to oil companies. So far, 27,000 signatures have been gathered to get the bill on the ballot for Alaska voters to decide. Petition supporters need 31,000 signatures by July 31st. Nome is in the midst of a second gold rush. The town, quite often referred to as the Gold Rush City, has seen an influx of people in the summer these past few years. And at KNOM this summer, we're taking some time to get to know some of our summertime neighbors. Each week, we'll talk with a different miner in the community. This week, we spoke with Brent Tuttle. This is Tuttle's second season in Nome. He started out with a rough first year in 2012, from being rescued in icy waters to losing most of his income. He has learned a few things, and he has advice for first-time miners.
Most people down there in the lower 48 that are sitting in their comfy chairs have better ideas than the guys that have been up here for, 10 years really busting their tails. My advice is to get on a plane and come up here and actually see it before you ever spend a nickel down there.
Tuttle says it is important to have plenty of capital and support before beginning mining in Nome. He also reminds newcomers to prepare for Mother Nature and days not being able to head out on the water.
You have to have something to do every single day to get some gold, make some money. So this year I have four or five different ways, to make money throughout the season. So really looking forward to a great season this year.
Tuttle says the community is another reason he's looking forward to returning to work in Nome this year.
But the key thing is the people. People literally came out of the woodwork to help me, and even today, they're still really, really nice to me, and I'm really grateful.
To hear more from Nome miner Brent Tuttle, tune into Profiles today after the 9 and 6 o'clock weather. The price of gold in New York has risen $11.90, trading at $1,236.70. Silver has risen 25 cents, trading at $19.25. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is about 50 minutes behind schedule. It's expected to arrive in Nome at 9:40 and depart at 10:25. Unofficially 52 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.